If you will remain standing for the reading of our scripture this morning, it comes from Psalm 33. Psalm 33:12 through 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Yet your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. You may be seated. This morning we have some special prayer time this morning. Betty, if you would like to come on, first of all for the leaders, our governmental leaders, and I would invite you to join with us in prayer.
May we pray. Lord, we come humbly this day of celebration to remember those who were responsible for the beginning of our country's independence. Those who sought a new government for a new country need to be remembered today. We give thanks and pray for those men of long ago as well as our present government. Lord, we pray for the president of our country and our vice president, our governor and lieutenant governor, the members of the North Carolina House and Senate, the local county commissioners, Asheville mayor, city council, and school board members. Lord, we ask your blessing and guidance on all those mentioned.
For our military.
Let us pray. Lord, my prayer is for the military people who are serving in foreign countries and at home today. Ones that have left their families, who have gone to serve and defend what we believe in. Lord, there are so many who are away from place and in places many weeks ago they never knew existed. Guide them safely, O Lord. Be with them and bless them. They love our country, and they serve faithfully. Lord, thank you for those who have served in the past, those who have defended our right to pray, to be free. Lord, thank you for their service and for the ultimate sacrifice many of them gave. Lord, these things we ask in your name. Amen.
For those who are in public service,
I was struggling with what to write, and I was reading, I was studying, I ran across a poem that I really liked that hit home, because I know as a public service worker, whether you're fire, EMS, law enforcement, nobody wants you there unless they're in trouble, unless you're there to help them. So I read this poem and it really hit home. It's called Angel in Blue. The public service officer stood and faced his God, which must always come to pass. He hoped his shoes were shining just as brightly as his brass. God said, "Step forward now, officer. How shall I deal with you? Have you always turned the other cheek? To my church, have you always been true?" The officer squared his shoulders and said, "No, Lord, I guess I haven't. Because those of us who carry badges can't always be saints. I've had to work most Sundays, and at times my talk was tough. And sometimes I've been violent because out on the streets it's tough. But I never took a penny that wasn't mine to keep, though I worked a lot of overtime when the bills were just too steep. I never passed a cry for help, though at times I shook with fear. And sometimes, forgive me, God, I wept unmanly tears. I know I don't deserve a place among the people here. They never wanted me around except to calm their fear. If you've a place for me, Lord, it needn't be so grand. I never expected or had too much, but if you don't, I'll understand. There was silence around the throne where the saints had often trod, as the officer waited quietly for his judgment from God. Step forward, officer. You've borne your burdens well. Come walk a beat on heaven's streets. You've done your time in hell. I've got a small prayer. Pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless the public service workers as they work to protect us and care for us in emergency situations. Bless those who place their lives on the line for us each day. God, please keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, we offer a special prayer today for the leadership of the United Methodist Church. We ask a special blessing on our Bishop, Larry Goodpastor, and our District Superintendent, John Boggs. On this Independence Day, we thank you for our local pastors, all the ministers who share the love and the message of Jesus Christ with us. Father, bless Fred Carpenter. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give him strength to share your love with us. Lord, we lift up all the leaders who serve here at Francis Asbury. Bless these men and women, Lord. Touch them as they seek to do your will. God, we love you and we thank you for giving us leaders with courage to step forward and answer your call. As they lead us, may we always follow. Together, may we walk in faith with Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This morning in our prayer time for one another and those needs that are in our lives, for those who have lost loved ones, for sick, for those who are struggling financially and emotionally, spiritually, for those that we lift up that need to know and have a closer relationship with Christ, I invite you this morning, and I want to do just a time. If you have a need, I would invite you to come up, or if there's someone on your heart that you would like to pray for, that you bear a burden for this morning, come to the altar this morning, and I would like to anoint you in oil and pray for you. And I invite you now to do that as you feel led, to lift up concerns that you have from your pews if you choose not to come forward. So at this time, I invite you to offer prayer concerns. Come to the altar as you feel led. I'm going to take a moment of silence. If you have a name that you would like to lift up from the congregation, please feel free to do so. And after a time of silence, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to come to each of these folks and pray with them, anointing them. And I would encourage you, if at any of that time during this, if you feel the need to come down to the altar, please don't stand on ceremony or principle. Come to the altar as you feel the Lord leading you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning on a beautiful day, a day in which we remember the inspired words and the action of our forefathers, in which you established this nation as a place set apart where people could come to be free. We thank you, Lord, for this place, this nation that you have given us, Lord. And it seems so often and so many times that we have strayed so far, so very far from where we once were, and in a relationship with you. But Lord, I know there are millions of people in this land today that still love you and that honor you daily, weekly, with their presence in church, with their private prayers and worship and glorification to you. Lord, I thank you for those men and women who worship you daily and seek to serve you. Help us, Lord, to be strong and to live out our calling as you have laid it upon us. Lord, there are many needs in our midst this morning. There are people dealing with the loss of loved ones, suffering from grief and anxiety, and Lord, may you be with those people, and you know those needs. There are people in our midst, Lord, that are dealing with health issues, surgeries, upcoming surgeries, recovery from surgeries. Lord, grant them healing, comfort, and assurance of your presence. Lord, there are people in our lives, friends and family, neighbors, who we are concerned about, who have issues going on in their life, financial issues, marital discord issues. There are people in our lives, Lord, that are struggling with their faith and their walk with you. Lord, we pray for them. Each and every one, Lord, you are the great physician. And as you see them, Lord, and hear our cries, Lord, may you speak to their hearts. May you draw them close to you, Father. May we never lose sight and lose the faith, Father, that you are in control. We come to you and we commit it all to you. Lord, now I come to each of these folks here. I pray for Peggy and the needs that she has, and I anoint her in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, you know her heart intimately, and Lord, I offer this time and this place, Lord, as a place of healing, a place of restoration, a place of comfort and certainty of your presence in her life. Lord, you know her. Be with her in the need that she has and the burden that she bears today, whether it be for herself or for someone, Lord. May you meet her where she is. Lord, for Beth, I come to her and I anoint her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for her. And Lord, I know that she is burdened for her dad, and Lord, that she's concerned about his health. Lord, I pray that you would be with that family, and Lord, that through the doctor's care and through all means necessary, Lord, that you would provide healing, that you would just be with Bob and Margie and their family, Lord, and watch over them. Lord, you know the needs there. You know each one intimately, and we just lay it in your hands, Father, and may you be with Beth and be with Robert. I know that Beth probably is concerned with Robert going out of town on the mission trip, but Lord, may she just know that he's in your hands, and that you are always present, and you'll be with her during this time. Lord, we thank you and just lift that to you. Lord, for Glenda, I just offer this time, and I anoint her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you would bless her, Lord, in whatever it is that she is concerned about, whoever it may be that she is burdened for. Lord, you know each of our hearts. Lord, thank you for knowing us before we were even knit together in the womb, and knowing the needs that we would have, the fears that we would face. Lord, may you bless Glenda and meet her where she is, Father, and just move her closer to you. Lord, hear her cries and her needs, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, for Rosie, I anoint her in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I offer the concerns and the needs that she has, Lord, to you. Lord, thank you for Rosie, and we just pray and offer all that she is to you this morning. Lord, you again know what's on her heart. You know the burden that she has. You know who it's for and what it deals with. Lord, in your wonderful, caring, compassionate way, Lord, may you touch her heart and give her the assurance and the comfort that you are with her now and in each step of her life. Lord, bless her family, all those that have come in contact with her, Lord. May they see Christ in her. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we can come to you and that you offer us healing and restoration at the foot of the cross. Lord, may all we do this day continue to be in accordance with your will. We offer who we are and all that we might become to you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This morning we have a special presentation for a media presentation, and I think Jamie and John's going to start that now.
Trial.
Amen. I'm thankful that we live in a nation that we can still say that. Even though many people are trying to change that across our nation, I know the story. I know that it was only in 1954 when those words were added to the Pledge of the Allegiance. But I tell you what, it doesn't take long in reading anything about the history of this nation or going to Washington, D.C. and looking at the monuments and the inscriptions that are there to understand that this nation was founded upon the principle of being a godly nation and worshiping and honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father. And I believe in separation of the church and state. I believe our forefathers were wise in that. But when they established that, they did not mean that we have to take religion, our faith, and our belief completely out of our nation. They just meant that it wasn't supposed to dictate what we believe and where we go to church and when we go to church. And so I'm thankful that we still live in a place where we can worship freely. This morning I want to share with you a few words. First of all, let's read to you some familiar scripture that Jesus spoke in the beginning of His ministry from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Beginning with verse 16. So He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. May it speak to us now its timeless message. May it set us free. And may it enable us to proclaim liberty to this world in which we live. Lord, may all that is spoken be Yours. In Christ we pray. Amen. 4th of July, you've noticed the Declaration of Independence up here, it's displayed up here. That's Betty Harkins, was her dad's, and appreciate her letting us use it today. So the Declaration of Independence is just an inspired document, is all you can say. I want to just share a few facts about the Declaration of Independence that I found as I did a little research on it. I ask you a question, some trivia this morning. There are two future presidents who signed the Declaration of Independence. Anybody can tell me who they are? John Adams was one. Thomas Jefferson was the second one. John Adams signed the Declaration of Independence. There are three presidents who have died on the 4th of July. Can anybody tell me who they are? Bill? Bill gets the star today. He knows all three of them. John Adams, James Monroe, fifth president, I believe that's right. He died in 1831. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th, 1826, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. They died within just hours of each other, about 5 hours of each other. Supposedly, John Adams, one of the last words he wrote is he knew he was dying there, and of course, they were miles apart, and there's not internet and Facebook and all in that time. He didn't know that Thomas Jefferson had preceded him already in death just by a few hours, and he made some comment in his writing, or either he said, "He's beat me. He's lived longer than me." And so those two were kind of at odds with each other in the forming of the Constitution and the founding of the country, but came to become, I think, good friends from what I can read, and at least very much admirers of each other. But it's just odd to me. Those two men who were so instrumental in the Declaration of Independence, in the founding of this country, that they died within hours of each other on the very same day, exactly 50 years after the beginning of our nation. In this document, how many of you have read the Declaration of Independence at least once in your life? Most everybody. We've had to do that. How many of you have read it in the last 10 years? A few more. How many in the last 5 years? Nobody? So I guess asking about 1 year, that there's nobody done it in 1 year. You read it in the last year? Good, Kaylee. Well, I have read it in the last year. I've actually read it in the last week. In preparation for this, it had been a long time. I don't know how many years before this week that I had read through the entire document. But I was astounded because I had seemed to have forgotten about some of the wording in this document. You know, these men who wrote this Declaration of Independence, they were some kind of brave and bold about the words that they used. Do you know that they accused the King of England of all sorts of stuff? I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence here. And when they go through and talk about the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and all that, then they get to this part and they said, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." Then they go in to launch into a diatribe of 27 accusations where they say things like this right here. "He has refused his assent to laws, and most wholesome and necessary for the good of the people. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance." Boy, it sounds like government today, doesn't it, kind of? "He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. Cut off our trade with all parts of the world, imposed taxes without our consent, deprived us in many cases of the benefit of trial by jury." It goes on. I encourage you to read over those issues that were talked about there. Interesting enough, did you know that in the very first draft, or one of the first drafts, that was not approved on July 2nd. Had this been approved on July 2nd, I guess we would have celebrated Independence Day 2 days ago. But this first draft was not approved. In it was the one of the accusations towards the King of England was that Thomas Jefferson had this put in there. He wrote this in there. He accused the King of England of imprisoning people on foreign soils and bringing them to the United States and imprisoning them without any cause whatsoever. Now, what do you think he was talking about there? He was talking about slavery. He was talking about slavery. Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder, folks. Yet he wrote this. It was voted down. They didn't agree to put that in there, so they came back on July 4th with the Declaration of Independence that we have today, absence that clause. Now, can you just imagine what a difference there would have been in our nation had that been approved and been ratified as part of the Constitution, or part of our Declaration of Independence? Our Constitution almost certainly would have included the freeing of the slaves at that time. 27 charges against the King of England. It's fascinating to read over them. Only one of the signers, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, I believe it was, a number of them ended up being imprisoned by the British during the Revolution. Only one of those 56 signers recanted their affirmation and allegiance to this new republic and reaffirmed their allegiance to England. And he later, after the duress that he was under and the revolution was over, he recanted his recant and affirmed his allegiance to the United States. There are a couple of things about this document that stand out to me. First of all, there is no doubt who these men were trusting, who they were putting their faith in for the success of this venture. It was the Almighty God. And second, these men were willing to lay it all on the line for what they believed. They were not simply talking about a new way of life. They were willing to give everything for what they believed in. Let's read another few things there. In the beginning of it, it talks about the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator. So you see God is mentioned there. And then at the end, the last paragraph, after they have accused King George of all these heinous things that he has been doing to them, they then say this. I want to read this final paragraph. I talked about it a little bit in my newsletter article, but really more needs to be said. "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world," I think that would be God, "for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the same and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish, declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, God's will, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." These folks knew that they were putting up everything. They weren't just coming together and talking about things, how things ought to be, and sitting around a bull session and solving all the world's problems like we do down at the barbershop or at our hair salon. They put everything they had on the line. All that they believed, all that they knew, they put it on the line. They were willing to do this because they believed in making a better world, in making it a better place for everyone. That was the case then. And folks, I believe that is the case now for Americans. I look back over the past 234 years of history of this nation, and I see time after time after time that men and women of good conscience have been willing to put it on the line for the cause of freedom. And I don't think it's so much a cause of freedom or the cause of this nation. It's because they believe, men and women have believed, that they are doing the right thing, and that by their service, by their laying it all on the line, that they are doing it and making this world a better place. You know, when we look back at times like World War situations, and literally our nation was fighting for itself, there's very little doubt about the men and women that laid their lives on the line there, that they were doing it for freedom and for our nation to survive. But if you look at wars and police actions, as they are called sometimes, since World War II, you got Korea and Vietnam, we've got the Iraqi wars and the Gulf War and Afghanistan, we've got countless little instances like Somalia and deployment in Kosovo and Yugoslavia and those places. And places where our men and women, our soldiers, have gone willingly. And folks, I don't believe they've gone for any reason other than they believed it was the right thing, that they were helping the people where they went, that it was something that they needed, that they were willing to lay it all on the line for the benefit of others, just to make things better for those in other places. For 234 years, folks, Americans have been giving their all for freedom on this earth in this life. But there's another one who gave his life. Jesus gave his life. He laid it on the line for you and for me so that we might have freedom, not just freedom here on this earth, but freedom in eternity. He told them in our scripture this morning that he had come to proclaim liberty to the captives. That is our calling as well, folks. The good news of Jesus Christ sets people free from the bondage to sin and death. The good news of Jesus Christ frees us. On this Independence Day, I hope you thank God for this nation, for all that he has blessed us with, and that you take those rights that have been given to you and you share the good news of Jesus with the world. He died to make you and me free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that selfless love that you have for us. We thank you, Father, that you have inspired men and women over the course of time to honor you and to fulfill your calling. Lord, as we come today, may all we do, may all we proclaim point people to your great love and your freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we come together and we come freely to the table. If you want to just line up at the altar here, we'll be fine. Yeah, just get on one side, I think it would be enough. It'll be fine. There's enough of you here. Just call out the names here. We got Robert McCain, Peggy Milroy, Tyler Sellers, Glenda Shook, Renee Carpenter, Dick Green. Absent are Angela Cathcart, Miranda Cathcart, and Jordan Duell, and myself. 10 of us, and there are 20 others from the other churches, along with the district superintendent and his daughter, who will be going. Please do remember us in prayer. Vance, could I get you to help me come up here and just to anoint, since I don't feel comfortable anointing myself, if you know what I mean. And so, if you would help me with that, I would appreciate it. You mean to start down here with you, or you want?
Just do that.
Okay, you get save the best to the last, huh? Robert, we anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and may you be safe and blessed in the weeks ahead. Peggy, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with Christ in your heart. Tyler, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you just follow Christ's commands always. Glenda, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go with Christ. Share Him as you go. Renee, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, just be a blessing as you go. Dick, go with Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and just follow Him where He leads you.
Fred, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God direct your path and make those who accompany you on this great mission and bring you back safe.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray for one another and for this group that will be going now. Father, we offer all that we do in these next weeks and on this trip to you. Lord, I fully expect to go down there and be blessed much more than I look to be a blessing. Lord, I pray that the people that we encounter will be able to see Christ in what we offer them, in our love and our compassion. Lord, may you keep us safe and close to you always. We look forward to coming back and sharing with everyone here your wonder and your grace and your love. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys.